CQDX, CQDX, CQDX. This is Havana calling. CQDX, CQDX, CQDX. This is Radio Havana calling all shortwave listeners and radio amateurs. Welcome to... DXers Unlimited, Radio Havana's weekly feature dedicated to the fascinating world of radio communications.
Hola amigos radioaficionados and shortwave listeners all around the world. I'm your host here, Arnaldo Arnicoro, Radio Amateur CO2KK, now ready to bring you item one of this show. The question, who will be the first to make a contact using a lightning scattered mode on 50 MHz on the 6 meters band? Well, the South African Radio League says that lightning scatter is yet another VHF propagation mode, and they are quite right about it. And they are quite right indeed. They also added in a press release that so far that two-way contacts using lightning scatter propagation have never been tried in South Africa. Many years ago, an FM broadcasting station in Durban on the 88 to 108 MHz FM band was heard in East London, South Africa by Zulu Sierra 2 Fox Mike during a lightning storm. Every time a lightning flash occurred from a distant thunderstorm in the direction of Durban, the FM signal would pop up out of noise at full limiting and last for about 10 seconds before it faded out, indicating that the signal was coming from the highly ionized trail caused by the lightning strike. Recently, radio bursts from lightning on 144.300 MHz single sideband mode emanating from Zulu Sierra 6 Charlie Bravo Quebec, set at 6 CBQ, at Kundersdorp were picked up by Ceres 4A in Bethlehem. Even though they were of very short duration, the voice of Ceres 6 CBQ was recognizable. This suggests that brief two-way contacts on the 50 MHz should be possible on single sideband or FM, or better perhaps yet, using one of the highly efficient digital modes during a thunderstorm. The late afternoon thunderstorms normally experienced in the summer months around Johannesburg, South Africa, could be a wonderful testing ground for a lightning project. Of course, only distant stations surrounding Johannesburg area will be able to participate, as all antennas will be grounded in the area where the storm is affecting it. The information provided by the South African Radio Link advises to amateur. If you are in Pretoria, then beam at the storm in Johannesburg area and give a brief call during a lightning flash, while only listening during the next flash. If you can see the lightning flash, then call when you hear the static burst on receive mode. In theory, it should be possible to make contacts as far south as the city of Bloemfontein. Yes, amigos, this propagation mode, lightning strike mode, is perfectly usable. As soon as the number of free electrons per cubic centimeter passes the critical value, the path of the lightning mode will provide a short-lived area that will refract signal with some energy reaching to the ground at a certain distance. Using the lightning scatter mode will require coordination between stations and maybe using a long wave receiver to pick up the noise bursts, the static that are generated by the lightning bolts. And now, item two. Cell phone networks fail not only due to hurricane force winds and floods, they're also victims of too much traffic generated by the emergency situation in progress. The cell phone systems are designed to handle a certain limited number of two-way signals, and once that number traffic is reached, the system goes into a state of saturation. I can assure you that amateur radio stations will never suffer from that problem and can keep themselves on the air before, during, and after the catastrophic weather event, providing to the people much needed emergency communications. Another interesting thing to do is monitoring the maritime shortwave communications channels, where you can pick up ships passing data about the weather that provide information to forecasters. Very valuable contribution by mariners. Last but not least, if you copy an emergency call, please take written notes of the data provided by the station that is making the emergency call. And do remember that during exceptional circumstances, amateur radio stations are allowed to communicate to contact stations of other communication services in order to provide much needed emergency assistance. Now, item three, more about emergency communications, a very important topic these days. I strongly recommend that you keep an emergency wire antenna ready to be deployed when needed. My favorite emergency antenna is a simple inverted L that has the vertical part extending up to 10 meters and the horizontal part extended to at least another 10 meters. The antenna also uses a 12 meters long counterpoise that is connected to the ground of the antenna connector. Using a simple, easy-to-put-up pole that extends to at least 7 meters high, you can install the inverted L in just a couple of minutes. Using a simple Pi Network antenna tuner, my emergency inverted L antenna can be made to load properly on the 80, 60, 40, 30, and 20-meter bands where emergency traffic is usually handled. The horizontal portion can be installed sloping down into a shorter mast, and it will work. My tests show that this inverted L is a very flexible system, easier to set up than a sharply tuning half-wave dipole for a single band, single frequency, or the more complex and not very good at all having to deal with strong winds, the classic broadband TTFD or tilted terminated folded dipole. Whenever an emergency situation is in progress, the extremely valuable support provided by amateur radio operators has become an essential element in any well-designed emergency communications handling network. Hurricane Harvey making landfall on the Texas coastline while reported as a class 4 storm, 130 miles per hour sustained winds, is once again an example of why the amateur radio service is so important to deal with a really catastrophic weather event as a category 4 tropical hurricane. We had one. And now, amigos, a reminder that works even when high-frequency propagation conditions are very poor indeed. I'm talking about the gray line or terminator line enhancement. Catching the early morning sunrise propagation peak has become an essential part of many DX's habits. I wake up early for my early morning Radio Progreso Cuban National Network morning show, my science segment, science and technology feature. And just before going to go on the air live, I do check the propagation conditions on the shortwave frequencies. And I do have friends that set the alarm clock still earlier than mine to around 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe half hour later, just to be awake by the time the very interesting and rewarding gray line propagation conditions are available. This event happens independently of the solar activity, and it provides a unique window to pick up DX. And yes, give it a try. I recommend you give it a try to the early morning sunrise DX window. And then send me an email to inforhc@inet.cu with your new DX logins during the very late evening or early morning hunting for far away DX stations. Please send your signal reports and comments to inforhc@inet.cu, again, inforhc@inet.cu, or via airmail to Arnie Coro, Radio Havana, Cuba, Havana, Cuba.
And that's all for today. This is Arnie Coro, Radio Amateur CO2KK, your host here at Radio Havana's DXS Unlimited, saying 73 and very good DX.